Welcome to the Occult London podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. If you like the podcast, please write a review and rate us on iTunes, as it will really help us to get this message out there. Also, be sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can also subscribe to the show. If anyone has any questions for me about the podcast, or if they have any questions from the things we're discussing, then please reach out to me via Facebook or on email, as I would love to answer any questions. You can find my Facebook on the show notes, or alternatively email at occultlondonpodcast@gmail.com. Hope you enjoy it. In today's episode, we will be looking at clairvoyance and some practical tips on how to develop it. One of the key things you have to remember when we're talking about subjects like this is that we have to almost assume that everybody is naturally already psychic, or they have these abilities within them, and that we are already receiving information psychically. However, some of us receive these things more clearly than others. The process of developing these abilities within each person is essentially almost like an unfolding of an onion or an unwrapping of an onion, and the ability should be something that we learn to control and can turn on or off at will. Like clairaudience and clairsentience, the word clairvoyance originates from the French language, which is clair, which means clear, and joyance, which is vision. And it's, you know, typically described as being the ability to gain information about an object, location, or person through extrasensory perception or seeing. The term was originally primarily used by Anton Mesmer, who developed the concept of animal magnetism, which was later to be called mesmerism. And the term also refers to this sort of superphysical perception of seeing things that are outside of our realm of reality. As Franz Baden says in his Initiation into Hermetics book, generally speaking, clairvoyance means the second sight, as it is popularly named, or the power of seeing without the use of the eye. Events taking place at a distance and in the past, present or future, or seeing deceased people. Also, W.E. Butler, who's also one of my favourite magicians, wrote the following: modern psychology has shown that certain levels of the mind exist behind or below the ordinary waking consciousness, and it is in these levels that clairvoyance has its point of emergence. For the purpose of this book, we may be somewhat dogmatic, and to simplify the issue, may say that we all possess a finer body of superphysical substance, and that the sense of that finer body can be connected to the waking consciousness, so that what we perceive in those finer levels of substance may be consciously perceived. For it is fairly certain that even though we may not consciously receive those superphysical sense reports, that they are being consciously received in the deeper mind, both when we are awake and when we are asleep. And that's from W.E. Butler. So if we take the idea of a stained glass effect, so this concept of light filtering through a window, but it's coloured by our conscious mind. And this also kind of emphasises the fact that we should not trust everything you see, or, you know, that we imagine in either a path working or a meditation experience. You always need to kind of keep your mind about you and analyse any experiences, mainly from your own point of view. What does it mean to me? Just because you see a burning building does not necessarily mean that you are a, you know, clairvoyant and you're seeing a house burn down. So you really need to try and distinguish between things that are relevant to you and things that might be relevant to somebody else. But the other thing on that point is you never really want to actually offer someone psychic advice unless they specifically ask for it. But generally speaking, I wouldn't advise it. There's different types of clairvoyance, which we'll run through quickly. And this is something that W.E. Butler talks about excellently in his excellent book, which I'll put on the show notes. He breaks them down into psychological, spatial, astral, and spiritual, and describes them as follows. Psychological. So this is a kind of gut feeling that people just develop but can't really explain. So he uses the phrase, "I do not like thee, Dr. Fell. The reason why, I cannot tell." Butler says this is not necessarily clairvoyance, but it's kind of this it's kind of this gut feeling we have when we don't like somebody, but we haven't met them before. And you're like, why, you know, why have I got this bad feeling? And Butler talks about this as being something that, you know, could be connected to a previous experience you've had that you've completely forgotten about. But there is still this sort of emotional impulse that's kind of lying beneath the surface. And it's still kind of giving you the emotional response, but without any connection to memory. Butler describes this as often being connected with things that... The next one Butler talks about is spatial. So this is to do with clairvoyance in space and time. So this is like a type of clairvoyance that usually involves, you know, psychometry, for instance. So it'd be getting images from an object, also abilities such as prevision and fortune telling, because that obviously include, you know, tarot, etc. The other one is astral clairvoyance. So this is like the perception of beings who have no physical body. So this could include, you know, fairies, god forms, demons potentially, and it's this idea of like this astral realm is kind of fluid and malleable, so that it forms the forms on the astral are the things that the magician sees. He describes this as following: the non-human intelligences of the astral level do not possess any form similar to that of man, but they do have their own forms, though these cannot be described in earth terms. If the human clairvoyant does come into contact with such non-human beings, his subconsciousness gives to them a local habitation and a name. So this would be like the inhabitation of forms such as the holy living creatures, gnomes, sylphs, undines. And this is very much a world of illusions. And, you know, you need to be able to practice discrimination in terms of seeing what is real and what is not real on that particular level. Then the next level he talks about is spiritual clairvoyance, which is kind of this idea of going beyond the form itself and seeing the connectedness of all beings. So this concept of all of us are one at some, you know, higher level of being. And he describes this as the following: all material things are, we believe, just as good, just as holy as our spiritual things. There is no eternal enmity between spirit and matter. They are the two poles of manifest existence, and it is in the balanced use of both spiritual and material principles that the way of progress lies. The skill of clairvoyance is natural to all abilities and people, as we described earlier. Yes, some people have a much stronger ability than others, and yes, they will develop it much faster, but we all have the ability to learn. So now we'll kind of discuss a few ideas on how to kind of develop this ability and, you know, what you can do. The first one I wanted to talk about is practicing visualization. So we've done an episode on that fairly recently, which I think, you know, definitely have a read of that and a listen of that rather, and have a go at doing some of those exercises, because they really do help. Clairvoyance, as we've seen, it means clear seeing. So the ability to visualize is a very important skill to learn on the journey to becoming and developing this ability. The more often you practice imagining things, visualizing, the better you become. And this also links into the work of opening the third eye, which is the chakra just above and located between the eyebrows. The images and visions and symbols you see when you do kind of clairvoyant work tend to be in your head rather than physically seeing them, although that's how I've kind of experienced it. But you know, some people do tend to find them projecting out a little bit, and this this kind of work also links into the ability to scry effectively when doing magical evocation, etc. The best way to develop visualization skills is to practice every day. This can be done through focusing on simple two-dimensional images. So for instance, you stare at the image for as long as possible, close your eyes and then see if you can see it. You can then move on to 3D images. There's also a really good exercise which I would recommend, where you essentially stare at a candle flame and then you close your eyes and you kind of focus on the after image. So you get this after image that hangs around behind your eyeballs, and you can actually focus on that as an image and then try to kind of expand it and make it look more like a doorway. Tatva cards are very good, and we'll be doing an episode on them, and also Zener cards. You can use those images. You can move on from there to, you know, more kind of experiential practicing visualization. So imagine yourself in different places going on a journey. Imagine you're on the school bus that you used to take when you were a child. Imagine you're in that garden, maybe your childhood garden, maybe in your childhood bedroom. Things like this. So try and picture being back there. Try and picture the smells, the sounds, what you see, you know, all of that stuff. And that will really help you to develop that ability. Also, something that's very popular with W.E. Butler was this game called the Kim's Game, which is from the book by Rudyard Kipling. And this is basically like a memory game where you'd get a friend to bring out a tray with a selection of items on it. You'd look at it for a few minutes and then they would take it away. And then you've got to describe in detail all the objects that are on the tray, including things like their colour. This one was a bit scratched. That one was this. That one was this. Yeah, etc. And if you practice that a lot, that really helps you to do this visualisation as well. Other things that can really help with this type of work is keeping a dream journal and a magical diary. So people with this more developed skill will often experience vivid dreams, so it's a good idea to keep track of them. Spirits and guides also communicate through dreams, so you know it's worth writing that down and getting into that habit of, you know, every morning get up and just write a few little notes on what you experience in your dream. This doesn't need to be like War and Peace and like five pages long. I find personally, if you just jot down a couple of points. So, for instance, I saw a red car going towards the ocean, for instance, something like that. You just write red car, ocean, and just writing down those key points seems to be enough of a trigger for your brain to remember the dream. So you don't need to write down every single detail if you don't have time, although it may potentially help and speed things up. Once you get good at doing that, you can also progress to kind of asking or setting the intention to learn something during a specific dream. So you could, for instance, have a specific teacher that you wanted to get in touch with, or you might have a specific problem that you wanted an answer to, and you can kind of set that intention before you sleep. And I'll be doing an episode on dream intention later on in the series. Other things that can really help with this, obviously, is meditation. This is, you know, as I've said before, one of the cornerstones of what you need to develop as a magician. And it's an excellent skill to learn, not only from the point of view of magic, but also from the point of view of keeping you as a normal, sane and happy individual in these difficult times. And yeah, the act of sitting and clearing the mind is really extremely important. It will really help you to, you know, kind of begin to listen to that inner voice. The saying by Rumi wrote a saying which was, the quieter you become, the more you are able to hear. And that is particularly true with regards to this. And meditation, especially if it's combined with things like chakra work, middle pillar technique, which I'll be doing an episode on, and, you know, things like Kundalini, all of those things would really help you to really get good at kind of developing that skill. Other things you can do as well is scrying and remote viewing. So, you know, you can look at things like little tests. Like, for instance, you could ask your friends to, you know, put something in an envelope and you need to see what it is. So doing tricks like that will really help you to kind of expand this and develop this skill set. And the best way of doing that, I find, is to really just sort of clear your mind and just allow whatever comes into your head to pop up. So even if it's really random, it can be the correct thing that's coming through. So it could be, you know, a hat or something like that. And it would really help you to kind of develop that that scrying remote viewing, but also this kind of intuitive abilities. And I mean, there's other techniques which are more advanced, which you know, were very popular in orders such as the Golden Dawn. So, you know, they actually had a technique called the body of light, or developing the body of light, and this was extremely effective at sort of developing clairvoyance within people training within the school. And Aleister Crowley talks about this in his book Magic as follows: "There are a great many ways of acquiring the power. Gaze into a crystal or into a pool of ink in the palm of the hand, or into a mirror or into a teacup. Just as with a microscope, the expert operator keeps both eyes open, though seeing only through the one, at the eyepiece of the instrument, so the natural eyes, ceasing to give any message to the brain, the attention is withdrawn from them, and the man begins to see through the astral eyes. These methods appear to the Master Therion to be unsatisfactory. Very often they do not work at all. It is difficult to teach a person to use these methods, and worst of all, they are purely passive. You can see only what is shown to you, and you are probably shown things perfectly pointless and irrelevant." So what he's saying here is, you know, this, the concept of gaining this power through looking into a crystal or ink in the palm of hand or mirror is kind of unsatisfactory, because you're actually looking through the object rather than using your own astral eyes. And what Crowley suggested for the magician to actually learn how to do this himself, so essentially really kind of going beyond that physical object and actually into the world itself, is as follows, and I quote: "The proper method is as follows. Develop the body of light until it is just as real to you as your other body. Teach it to travel to any desired symbol and enable it to perform all necessary rites and invocations. In short, educate it. Ultimately, the relation of that body with your own must be exceedingly intimate. But before this harmonizing takes place, you should begin by a careful differentiation. The first thing to do, therefore, is to get the body outside your own. To avoid muddling the two, you begin by imagining a shape resembling yourself standing in front of you. Do not say, 'Oh, it's only imagination.' The time to test that is later on, when you have secured a fairly clear mental image of such a body. Try to imagine how your own body would look if you were standing in its place. Try to transfer your consciousness to the body of light. Your own body has its eyes shut. Use the eyes of the body of light to describe the objects in the room behind you. Don't say, 'It's an effort of subconscious memory.' The time to test that is later on." So what he's saying here is, you know, as we were just saying, you know, it's very much around this developing your imagination, developing your concentration, developing your ability of meditation and relaxation to expand this body of light before you, and then the action of transferring your consciousness to it. We'll be doing a later episode on astral projection, which will be covering that in more detail. But I think that quote of definitely kind of gives you a bit of an understanding about what we're trying to achieve here in terms of the ability to kind of look beyond that physical realm into other realms as well, but also the ability to completely control it. as well. Franz Baden actually mentions a technique a little bit similar to that, which I wanted to quote from as well. And this again is from his book, Initiation into Hermetics, which I'd really highly recommend. His technique kind of takes a slightly different approach from what Crowley was talking about, however, because he's imagining this kind of inhaling this universal light, which is similar to the middle pillar technique that we will be covering in a future episode. He says the following. Take up your asana posture and imagine that you are inhaling the universal light, similar in form and brilliance to our sunlight, whether through the pulmonary and pore breathing or only imaginarily. Regard your body as a hollow organ, completely filled with this universal bright light. Now concentrate the quality of clairvoyance into this light in the body. I.e., imagine that the light is penetrating everything, seeing everything, and looking into everything. Neither space nor time is any hindrance to this light. Your conviction of this quality of the light is to be as firm as a rock, and not the faintest doubt is allowed to arise. If you are a religious man, it should be easy for you to believe that this universal light is representing a part of God, who owns all the qualities described here. As soon as you have sucked in the light into your body in this manner, together with the quoted qualities, and if you can feel its tension and penetrating power inside you, accumulate the lights with the help of your imagination from the feet and hands towards the head, compressing the light to such a degree that it includes both your eyeballs. You can also fill first one and then the other eye with the accumulated light as described here. So what he's talking about is this, he's drawing in this kind of spiritual light into the body, and especially focusing it around the eyeballs, because obviously the eyeballs, our physical eyeballs, are a representation, a physical representation of these, you know, spiritual or astral eyes that Crowley was talking about. So it's this ability to concentrate this light, or this kind of ability of seeing, into that physical and also those astral and kind of spiritual eyes as well. Yeah, I mean, that technique he mentions is meant to be the one that he recommends to develop clairvoyance. And, you know, I've not tried it myself, but it definitely sounds like something that would be interesting anyway. So that just about covers it for today. I hope everyone found this useful. Thanks very much for joining us this week on the Occult London podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. If anyone has any questions for me, then please reach out via Facebook or an email, as I'd love to answer any questions. My email is occultlondonpodcast@gmail.com. Also, we really want to develop this further, so if you can rate the show or leave a review on iTunes, that would be fantastic, because it would just mean more people can see the show and hopefully get some value from it. Please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show as well. Catch you all soon. Thank you very much. World denied.